name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I'm just going to talk quickly about social media and the internet. And I think it's a very important topic. And I think social media, how many people here have Facebook? Hands up if they have Facebook. So I don't have Facebook, but I'm familiar with all the different social media mediums. But I feel so far away. I think that the problem with Facebook and social media is that if you look around you in society, we see a lot of the negative consequences of social media. So you see people posting things on social media, and they make themselves, it makes all their relationships through a prism of self-glorification and justification. So they're just posting things that make them feel better about themselves. Oh, look at me, I'm overseas, look at me, I'm here and I'm everywhere. And I think it's also linked to depression, because people who see other people's lives and see how fantastic other people's lives are, or how their lives look fantastic, get depressed with their own lives. So when someone sees, for example, a girl who's struggling to get married, when she sees everyone, when they see, oh, look at my beautiful, is that right? Look at my beautiful husband, look at my beautiful, it makes people feel a bit down. When somebody's, doesn't have many friends, and they see on other people's Facebook, oh, look how many friends they got, look, they're always traveling, and I'm just sitting here by myself. It can really be bad for people's self-esteem and ego. And people stop doing things for the right reasons. People just do things just so they can brag about it on social media. Just so they can put up a picture and show people how fantastic they are. And I think this leads to people becoming more disconnected and more lonely. For example, when I go out to dinner with my wife, it's a very big temptation that we have to control, not to pull out our phones and sit there in silence while we both play on our phones. It's a big temptation that we don't do that. And it's not just, there are a lot of other dangers with social media, namely bullying. Every couple of weeks, every week you'll read, if you read the news, you read about someone who has been bullied on social media, and that has led to suicide in that person, and led to, a number of psychological problems. There was a website called ask.fm, which basically allowed people to go on and ask questions anonymously. So girls or young boys, impressionable young boys, would go on there and they would ask questions. I'm feeling very depressed. What should I do? And people on there they call them trolls. What they do is they go on there and they just inflame people. So you should go kill yourself. And this is what happens. And they led to a spate of suicides that they all linked to this particular website. So it's very, very dangerous. That back in the day, you could be bullied at school, no problem. People get bullied at school. But to get bullied in your own bedroom, that you cannot escape the bullying, is a big, big problem facing kids. When I've spoken to people, it's crushing. That you come home and you cannot escape people talking badly about you. The other big danger is there are a lot of predators out there. And there was a TV show I was watching, and it was incredible. A guy posed, it was all filmed, he posed as a young boy online, and he tried to meet up with teenage girls. And so he'd convinced them on social media, and what he would do is he would have their parents in the van waiting. So what they'd do, the girls would get in the car, and then he'd quickly drive off to scare them, and then the girls' parents would pop out of the van and say, I cannot believe you did this. And every time, every single segment that they did, the parents were incredibly shocked that their daughters would even do something so stupid as to get into a car with an unknown boy. And so that's an incredibly dangerous thing we have to be careful about. The other big problem that is current in our church, all of these problems are current in our church, but the big problem that is current in our church is girls and boys, presumably, sending compromising photos of themselves. It happens a lot. Their boyfriends, they're tempted to, they're pressured to by their boyfriends to send photos of themselves. There's a thing called Snapchat, where you send a photo of yourself or photo of anything, and it deletes within 3 seconds. So they go, oh, it's gone, it's deleted. But it's very stupid, because the second you send it, what that boy or anyone can do is quickly take a screenshot with their phone, and it's safe forever. They show their friends, they show whoever they want, and that girl's reputation is completely destroyed. And this happens a lot. It's not something that we think doesn't happen in our community. If you speak to the priest, they will tell you this happens a lot. Girls pressured by their Egyptian boyfriends to send photos of themselves, and when that relationship goes sour, anything can happen. So I think that if we were so aware of the dangers that face our kids, if we were that aware, that we would never be so casual as to leave them a phone or any device in their room and just say, they'll be fine. Never, we would never be so casual to do something like that. You would never leave your daughter outside talking to a stranger. And yet in her room, she has access to a million strangers and your son. So I think it's something that we have to be very careful about. And the most important thing I want to get across is that it's not, you know, my kids are young. Hopefully they're not, you know, they're definitely not at that age yet. But I've been teaching Sunday school class for a number of years, and these are the issues that they have. You know, our kids are not immune to the problems of the outside world. They're not immune. And a lot of parents, you know, probably myself included when my kids get older, think, oh, my kid's an angel, he wouldn't do that. But the two are irrelevant. It doesn't matter if your kid is an angel, he still may be doing it. Some of the best kids have the biggest problems with the internet. It's not because they're bad kids, it's just because they're not supervised. It's because they weren't guided. It's because they have too much freedom, because their parents think, oh, my kid's fine. Maybe your kid is fine, but maybe he's not. So we have to be careful, and we have to protect our kids. And so please don't assume that your kids are pure and innocent. They don't do all this. They may very well be pure and innocent, but they still might be doing some of these things. And so I think that the other complaint that people might make is that if we go really hard and we, you know, control all the devices, all the internet, our kids, we're smothering our kids and we're not giving them a chance to make their own mistakes. And that is a fair point. You know, obviously you have to give your kid a chance to make their own mistakes. But when you give them unadulterated access to the internet and all of these things on their phone, you are setting them up to make a huge mistake and to make mistakes that they may never recover from. For example, you wouldn't leave cocaine or marijuana in your child's bedroom and say, I'm going to let them make their own mistakes. That's nonsensical. So I think the same thing applies to phones and devices. If you leave them in their bedrooms, I'm going to leave them to make their own mistakes, they will make their own mistakes and they will pay for those mistakes perhaps for the rest of their lives, whether it be compromising photos, whether it be pornography addictions, whether it be, you know, bad relationships. All of these things we have to be very, very careful about. So what can we do? So I'm just going to talk briefly about technology. Put your hand up here if you would describe yourself as moderately technological. Put your hand up if you describe yourself as very technological. You're pretty high tech. And what about like completely illiterate with technology? Well, no one. There's some people that didn't put their hand up, so I'll assume. Okay, so the thing that I think we need to be wary of is being too illiterate with technology. You know, it's very important that you have some understanding of what your kids are doing. For some people, that's very difficult. I think as the generation gets, as we get, you know, older and we've had more exposure to technology, most of us have some concept of how to use a phone. Like my mom is ridiculous. Once she mistook the remote for her phone. You know, she thought, man, I saw her talking on the remote. Anyway, it was embarrassing. And so some people have no idea, right? But I think that we cannot allow ourselves to be that naive. And so I've handed out some papers and some forms. One of those is a pamphlet. In the pamphlet, the main thing that I want you to get from that pamphlet is in relation to the iPhones and the Apple iOS operating system. That's the main thing. That'll run you through some steps to protect your iPhone or Apple operating system. There's another sheet out there that came courtesy of Magdi Risk, which is basically a cheat sheet for how to set up OpenDNS. Now, I'm going to talk a bit about OpenDNS and how to protect our devices at home. Now, I've been speaking to Mimi and Magdi and a number and some of the priests, and I think that maybe a way forward is to have some kind of service where individuals go to people's houses if they need and set up protection devices on there and either teach them how to set up protection devices or if they're completely hopeless, set it up for them and then maintain it. For example, with my Sunday school class, I have a number of Sunday school boys who I have set up internet protection devices on their phones or on their laptops, and I can control it remotely. So if they need anything changed, they message me, and I just do it from my computer at home or from my phone. It's quite simple to do, and it's quite effective. But I just start from the beginning. So the first thing is you can protect all your devices through one mechanism, that is through your router. And that is the first, the A4 sheet that I gave you. That gives you instructions on how to do it. It is a little bit technically complicated, and it is not foolproof. For example, I cannot set it up at my house because I have a modem that doesn't let me change the router settings, the DNS settings. So it's very hard for me to do it. If I want to do it, I have to go to each individual device and change it. So that doesn't work for me. But that is a way to do it that a lot of people, I think Mimi uses it, Magdi Risk uses it at his house, where basically anyone who's on the Wi-Fi network cannot access certain things. So you set the protection as very high, and they cannot access Facebook, pornography websites, social media, whatever it is, they cannot access. And that's all done through the router. So anyone connecting to your router cannot access those things. The problem is that if they turn off their Wi-Fi and put on their data, they can access everything. It's completely unprotected. Now, usually kids don't have that much data, so there's a limit to how much videos and pornography they can see, but they can certainly do a lot of social media. There's certainly a lot of social media that they can use. And so your child is unprotected in that regard. So if you do go down that path, then I suggest for all mobile devices or iPads or anything like that that has data, you put on added protection. Added protection. So, for example, with laptops, let's say you've done the OpenDNS, that's fine. But another mechanism for laptops, which I found very effective, is a program called NetNanny. Has everyone heard of NetNanny? NetNanny. It basically costs, I think, $40 a year, $50 a year. And you can protect anything, everything and anything. You can stop them from social media, pornography. You can block out the internet for certain periods of the day on their computer, on their laptop. So from 6 o'clock, there's no internet. You can block all websites except for a certain few websites. Yeah, I'll get to that. It's laptops. So that you can do all of those things with NetNanny. It is a very, very powerful tool, and you can see what your kids are watching from your... You can get email notifications if any red flags pop up. If they try and access a site, a red flag, you get email notifications if you're at work, wherever you are. You can see what they've... If you put on retaining data, you can see the sites that they've been visiting. You can monitor social media conversations. All of this is maybe a bit too much for some people with their kids. You don't want to be too restrictive, but it's available that you can do all of those things. It's $50 a year. I've used it for a number of people in my Sunday school class, and it works fantastic because they just message me and they go, Sam, can you... Let's say a site gets through. And they say, Sam, can you please block this site for me? And I just quickly go, and for some reason they got through. I just block that particular site, and that's finished. So... The good thing about it is, well, nothing is 100% effective, but the good thing about it is if you can see if there are particular sites that they're going to and you think maybe this has slipped through the cracks, then you can just jump on and block it. It's a very, very effective tool that I would recommend. The other thing is iPhones and iPads. With iPhones and iPads, it's actually very, very clever what Apple has done. They give you a mechanism. You don't need NetNanny. You can do it all throughout the phone. So basically what I recommend is that you jump onto your restrictions. It's there on the paper, on one of the pamphlet sheets that I gave you. You can jump onto your settings, go to restrictions, you put in a passcode, and once you've done that, you can enable restrictions for most things. Importantly, you can enable restrictions for the camera. You can enable restrictions for... What you have to do first is download a safe browser, You have to download a safe browser. And then you stop access to Safari, stop access to downloading and installing new apps. And then if they want the internet, they can only use it through this safe browser. And you can, if you don't want them to use Facebook, for example, you delete Facebook. and you stop them from installing new apps, so then they cannot install Facebook. And it's actually very effective because it's just with a 4-digit passcode, your kid will never figure it out, and you've completely protected their phone. So they can't use camera to take photos if you don't want. And if they need to install any apps that you want to let them install, they just come to you, you put in your passcode, you install the app for them, and then you put the passcode back in, and then it's done. I think that anyone who's giving their kids an iPhone or an iPad without putting some of these restrictions is playing with fire. It's a very effective tool to stop them from doing it. To always monitor it, to make sure that they're not installing new apps. If they can install new apps, they can probably get around it. And make sure you've enabled the restrictions properly. The other thing is Android phones. So like I said at the beginning, all of these devices can be protected through the router, anything that connects to the network. But the second you turn off that network, you have complete access to everything else. So if you are using the router setting, I recommend that for phones and any other device, you take further steps. With Android, they have NetNanny for Android, which I've used, and it's fantastic. You can basically stop them from installing new apps. You just need to disable access. So when you go to the remote management page, you can switch off the apps that you don't want them to have access to. So for example, the Play Store. So they can't download, they can't get access to the Play Store to download new apps. You can restrict the internet usage time so that they can't use internet for certain times during the day at all on their phone. And it's actually great because it doesn't stop internet to things like WhatsApp. So if you want, if your kid's on WhatsApp or whatever, or those ones, it actually doesn't stop internet to them, but they can't browse the internet or do anything on the internet like that. You can block certain websites. You can basically almost everything that you can do with a laptop, you can do on the Android phone. And it's a fantastic, fantastic resource. So in that handout that was done a while back, on the Android there was a different setting. Don't worry about that. NetNanny for Android costs about $15 or $20 a year. And you can get it as a package with your laptop and your phone or whatever, and it's fantastic. Fantastic. So I would strongly recommend if they have these devices, because that protects them whether they're on the Wi-Fi network or whether they're on 4G. And there's no limit to what you can restrict with them. So I think that the important thing is to be very aware of what kids are doing, how they're accessing things, and then that way you'll know how to block things properly. There are other devices that can access the internet. PlayStations, don't leave PlayStations or things. All of these devices have browsers in them. Don't leave them in kids' rooms. If you do leave them in kids' rooms, a lot of them have mechanisms whereby you can disable internet access on them. So child protect, you put in a passcode or whatever, and they're not allowed access to the internet to a browser. So don't think a PlayStation is just for games or a iPod. iPod is just for games. They can access anything that they can access the internet through is a potentially very dangerous piece of equipment. So that's I think that with Android, I think with NetNanny, I can't run you through a step-by-step. It's pretty self-explanatory once you download and install it, but you have to have some concept of how to install things. But you can just get the NetNanny app through the Google Play Store. NetNanny for Android, and then you sign up to a yearly membership or something, and then you can do it. And like I said, with NetNanny, you can remote manage it. So if you're at home, if you're out and your kids are at home, you can see what they're doing on their phones. But you can block things on the go when you're on your computer anyway. So I think that's the technology one. Okay, that's technology wise. The other thing is, I think we have to be practical about all of these things. We need to be careful, I think, not to smother our kids, you know. Like, I had a friend, his dad used to jump around the corner every unannounced to try and catch him what he was doing on the internet. He'd jump around the corner like this, and it's a bit ridiculous. I think you have to be careful not to be overly smothering with our kids, but at the same time to be constantly aware that it's a battle. So what is far more important than all of these individual protection devices is to monitor the access to the internet in general. For example, laptops, they do not need laptops in their room. Even if you've got protection, they don't need laptops in their room. You know, it's asking for trouble. I think if they have a laptop, if they have a computer, put a passcode on it so that they can only use it when you're home. You know, they say, oh, I need it for school. How much do they really need it for school? We all got through school with a pen and paper. So, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. From the school until they
sleep. Yeah. Yeah. That's an excellent point. I just as a side note, I read an article just recently that said all of this technology that we've given in schools, laptops and everything, has actually not improved our numeracy and literacy rates. So it's actually not been beneficial. But anyway, that being said, they are using laptops at all. They don't need it in their rooms. They don't need to have their laptops in their rooms at night time. And like complete accessibility.
Another thing is if they have another brother or sister young, the excuse, I can't concentrate with the rest of the family, I need to be by myself to concentrate,
yeah.
Otherwise I would do more.
The problem with me is that I don't have kids that old, so I don't know what they're going to use on me, but I think that obviously Mimi would know better, but I think maybe like perhaps, yes, you can use a laptop for this particular time while you're studying in your room. It has net nanny on it, it's protected, and the door's open, for example. We don't close the door. And so you can be reasonably safe, reasonably secure, knowing that they're not doing any of these things, so long as net nanny is completely installed on their laptop or some protection is installed on their laptop. And then, okay, you can use it in your room for this time. When you're finished, bring it outside of the room. That's one practical thing that I just off the top of my head. The other thing with phones, I think, look, I know it's very difficult, but I did hear once someone told me that with their kids, their phones stay outside of the rooms overnight. So they charge their phones in the kitchen or wherever, and when you want your phone, you collect it in the morning. No phones overnight. And I think that's a very, very smart way of doing it, because you've stopped them from for example, speaking on the phone at night time. We don't know who they're speaking to, you know, sending photos, doing all of these things. So yes, you've protected their phone, but there's always ways around this thing. So be vigilant in not giving them complete access to whatever it is they want. So I think that the phones are really, really, really very dangerous. And I think that if we start to make the bedroom an internet-free device as much as we can. You know, I've seen kids, you know, like they've got iPads, laptops, PlayStation, Xbox, all of these things in their room. And I think to myself, firstly, even if the kids are saying he's not doing anything, how is he getting any work done? How is he getting any study done? And it's just asking for trouble. And so I think that I'm not sure. My kids aren't grown yet, so I can't say anything. But I think that perhaps if we start these rules when our kids are younger, you know, like no TV, no phones in the bedroom, you know, end of story. And then it just becomes, okay, well, there's no phones in the bedroom. For example, when I was younger, I had, we had a rule in my house, there was no TV during the week. And when I told my friends that, you know, they thought I was a Fruit Loop, that I wasn't allowed to watch TV during the week. But because it started from when I was young, it was just the rule that I wasn't allowed to watch TV. There was no point fighting it because I just wasn't allowed to. And so I think if you try and do that for a 16-year-old, say no TV during the week, he'll maybe kill you. So I think that maybe if we start these things younger, no phones in the bedroom, keep bedroom door open. You know, these are the protection mechanisms we have on our phone. That's it. End of story. Then it might be. And the other thing I think is we need to have a relationship with our kids where we are not uncomfortable to talk about these things. You know, like for the boys, you know, their dads, they should be comfortable enough to talk about the dangers of pornography, of all of these things. It shouldn't be something that makes them, well, it should be something that makes them squeamish, but it shouldn't be something that they can't bring up with their kids. For the mums and the daughters, don't be afraid to talk about the dangers of social media, the people that are out there, you know, sending inappropriate things. Have very frank conversations with your kids so that they know that they can come to you. A lot of the problem, it happens when, for example, in my Sunday school class or in previous Sunday school classes, they come to me and they say, I want you to be control over my net nanny. Why don't you go to your parents? Obvious reasons, they're too embarrassed. It would be much easier if they were comfortable enough with their parents to say, Dad, you know what? I want you to put this, just to be on the safe side, I want you to put this thing on my phone, on my thing, and then, you know, and obviously that's very different, that's quite embarrassing for the kid. But if they have that relationship where they're a little bit more comfortable, then they might be maybe inclined to be more open about the things that they're struggling with. And so that'll be a much better situation if we're much more, you know, in tune with what our kids are going through, that we can then be on the front lines to help them, you know, and discuss with them. And I think just finally, just in terms of, you know, spirituality, I think that we need to raise our kids in the image of God. We need to be teaching our kids how to use the internet properly, how to, you know, have proper relationships through the model of what we are. You know, and I think that if we raise our children to love God, and we get them through this period without developing any big addictions or making any big mistakes, then I think that zeal for God will replace in the future any desire that they have when they're 18, 19, 20, and they can make their own decisions. They've gotten through that period where, you know, pretty unscathed. You know, a lot of people say, oh, but, you know, my kids eventually going to be able to make their own decisions. That's true, but a 16-year-old or a 15-year-old's brain is very different from a 20-year-old's brain. You know, the brain hasn't developed. The problem, the reason why you have all of these problems with addiction that develops through a young age is because the brain is developing, and any kind of trauma or any kind of weird things that they're exposed to forms part of their developing brain. So their brain, when fully developed, incorporates a lot of the stuff that they've seen. And so for this period, the teenage years, you have to be very careful about the limits of what they can see and what they can do. And then once they're 20, 21, then all of the good work that you've done in raising them to be spiritual and to pray and to do all of these things, that's when their brain is developed enough to really take it to the next level. So I think we just have to be so careful during these teenage years. And someone was telling me that the benefit of NetNanny and all of these things, devices and internet, is it may not block out everything. It may not block out everything. But he was saying it blocks out the really bad stuff. It blocks out the really bad stuff, and what's left is like quite mild. And so you're at least stopping them from accessing the really bad stuff. There's a lot of really bad stuff out there. You're stopping them accessing the really bad stuff and then just plugging the gaps as you find them as you go. So I think that's pretty much my talk in a nutshell. I think if Mimi and the other head servants agree, I think that this would be a great area of service for some people, to go to people's houses, to help them set up devices, to teach them, you know, internet safety, things like that. But I mean, it's up to Mimi and the priest. Yes. Mm. Yeah. There is. I don't know in terms of on the phones. I know you can block it on the phone. Block YouTube as a whole on the phone. I know you can. Yeah. So then the other option, I think, is I haven't tested this out, but I imagine that there is a bypass mechanism, so that when you open it, it closed, but then you have to let them in. But then I'm not sure whether they have unrestricted access. I'll have to look into it. The other option is whether they access YouTube through a web page, through a safe browser, for example, and then I'll have to look into it. I haven't really looked into that. But yeah, there is a problem. My daughter was looking at some weird, well, something I had been watching. It's like this prank with this little Chucky, a little freaky doll with a knife. It was a funny prank. My daughter was looking at it. I'm like, oh my God, it's a disaster. She'd gone there from the Wiggles or something. Yeah.
So when you say safe browser, is that a brand or?
Okay. So if it's an iPhone or whatever, you download a safe browser. It could be anyone. There's like a number of them. There's K9. There's, I think there's one called...
Yeah.
From the iTunes store, you install a safe browser. And then when you go into your restrictions, you stop access to Safari.
And it's called safe because you can access other things, you can block other things?
Yeah. I don't know if... There's probably one called safe browser. If you type in safe browser, you get probably a big list of them. And you just pick any. And basically, when they're on that browser, that's the only browser that they can use to search the internet, you can block out certain things. So you can make it really high level blockage. So you can block out Facebook, blah, 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 and all generally all pornography websites. And then they can't access internet through any other browser. So through Safari, which is unprotected, they can't access it because you've disabled Safari. And then after you've done that, you've disabled internet installing apps. So then they can't go and install other browsing apps, for example. Does that make sense? Any other questions? I think going forward, I think if Ming speaks to the priest, is that something that everyone would be happy with, a service like that where people come in and help with this stuff?
You can even bring the devices in. Make up a time and then for example we want to bring a laptop and
yeah. I think preference for people who are younger and who are more on the ball with technology to be taught these things, because things need to be changed, things need to be, new phones. It's much easier if we know how to do it and we can just teach you and show you, and then you sort of have the general understanding. If we teach people how to do it, then I think it's easier than every time you get a new device you have to bring it in and this and that. It just, you might end up just not doing it. I think that's an easier way of doing it. But for people who obviously, you know, are not familiar with technology and things like that, then that's something we can do. Glory be to God.